Cowboy Chronicles in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles post-game, the Oklahoma State football podcast presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving, stop in today, or visit zaxbys.com. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh and Jenny Carlson. Coming off of Oklahoma State's 56-14 victory over McNeese State, Cowboys versus Cowboys, and it goes to those the hometown Cowboys. Y'all, we obviously knew that this was going to be a lopsided game. Took a little while to get there. Offense took some time to get going tonight. Any surprise there that the offense maybe sputtered a little bit out of the gate, Jacob?
It did feel like a surprise after last week watching them just not have any kind of resistance, it felt like, from Oregon State, especially the way Spencer Sanders played. And at first it just felt like he was a little off the mark at times, and he finally got some rhythm going, but it took a little while. And I think part of that, though, is still their field position. They had such poor field position to start the game. When you start three drives on your 9 in a row, that's really, really tough. I averaged it out, and it was you start at the average of the 12-yard line, and you think, man, there's just not a lot of room to work with there. The defense is playing really well. They couldn't get the field flipped, basically, and that really kind of slowed things down. But once they got going, it was a lot of fun.
Jenny?
I think part of it too, the field position had to have a role, but you also had some uncharacteristic things happening, you know, like Chuba Hubbard fumbling, and you know that causes a negative play. You've got that was recovered by Oklahoma State, but you know, kind of put them behind a rock and a hard place. And then obviously Dylan Stoner fumbles at the end of a nice reception, and it does get taken away by McNeese State. So some guys that are usually not going to do that sort of thing doing that, I thought that was sort of perfect storm of some mistakes by some guys that you aren't going to see go that way all the time. So yeah, I think it was a lot of different things happening there that you don't necessarily expect to happen. So, but I think that's a lesson, you know, still an offense that is, you know, trying to figure out exactly, you know, who it's going to be and how it's going to operate, you know, to go through stuff like that. I think it's a reminder that everybody has to lock in, and yeah, there's going to be tougher opponents than tonight. And so to have that happen tonight, it's better than having it happen in Austin here in a couple weeks. You kind of want to work through that now, as opposed to facing the Longhorns here in a couple weeks.
Sean Gleason, new offensive coordinator, joked that it was sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because he had been talking to his guys all week about, let's get off to a fast start. Got to get off to a fast start. Got to start fast. How important it was, and then they came out of the gate so slowly. It was a little bit of a rough experience for those guys. And he was talking about the helpless feeling from the press box. One thing that did get the offense going, they had a 15-play, 91-yard drive early in the second quarter. Spencer Sanders rushed for 42 yards on that drive, and that sort of seemed to break things loose, and they got rolling much better at that point. But 12 carries from Spencer Sanders in the first half. Anybody surprised by that number at all?
I certainly was. Yeah. It was. It just felt like you kind of wonder too at times, where's Chuba?
Right.
You know, and I know he fumbled early, but they went back to him, I think, on the next drive pretty quick. But it just felt like it was a lot of design runs for Spencer, and it wasn't what you saw last week when it didn't feel like it was so much design as much as him just trying to make a play happen. And it just felt like a total change. And Gundy kind of talked about it a little bit, said, you know, the way the defense was playing, it was there, but it just felt I don't want to say wrong, but it felt totally out of whack.
It felt dangerous is what it felt like to me. It felt like you were just asking for trouble running your quarterback in a game where you knew what the outcome was ultimately going to be. There's going to be games where they're going to need to run Spencer Sanders double digits in the first half. There's going to be times when that's what the defense allows, and so you have to take advantage of it. But that's not this game. And so I think that was the thing to me that, you know, obviously it worked out. He didn't get hurt. He's fine. But, you know, that it did seem like a heavy workload, especially when you've got a back, as you mentioned, Jacob, and Hubbard that, you know, they leaned on heavily, leaned on more in the opener than, you know, we ever saw him lean on Justice Hill in, you know, the early going last year. They really felt like Chuba could handle that kind of action, and he did. And so for him to be largely, you know, absent much of the first half, that was a little bit of a surprise too.
8 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown for Chuba Hubbard. 5.5 yards per carry. It wasn't like he wasn't being productive. It was working when he ran the ball. So
does that get him back on the below the 300 carry pace that he was on?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
You know, it kind of evens out after 2 games now, right?
Definitely slows down the pace. That's for sure. Sanders 12 carries for 51 yards, and that's including an 11-yard sack. So his yardage was significantly more impactful than it sounds when you look at it off the top. We are over 6 minutes into this podcast at this point. Have not mentioned Tylan Wallace yet. I probably deserve to be smacked in the head with a microphone just for that. 5 catches, 180 yards, 3 touchdowns. Now 10 catches and 5 touchdowns in 2 games this season. Even his non-touchdown plays are ridiculously impressive, like the one along the sidelines tonight. He admitted himself that he didn't think he could. He was surprised by the fact that he made that play and got his feet down in bounds. But the 2 long touchdowns were both a moment of him turning on the Jets and doing things, running with the ball, that we didn't necessarily see as much of last year. But this guy just keeps making plays.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to John Gleason a little bit about turning routine plays into something big, like we saw him do on his first and third touchdowns tonight, 69 yards on the first one, 75 on the third one. And he said that that's something. Now, obviously, Sean Gleason was not around last year, so we know that his point of reference is only this season. But he said that in practice, Tylan Wallace, especially when it's, you know, the receivers and the quarterbacks working, Tylan Wallace is very mindful of playing out situations like that, not just catching a pass and that being it. You know, really, really thinking beyond the, you know, catch the ball and take a couple steps. So, you know, that's not to say he wasn't doing that last year, but that does seem like something, especially when you've, and Sean Gleason talked about this too, when you've got a young quarterback who's still, you know, as good as Spencer Sanders has been, he's still young, he's still getting this all figured out, and to have a weapon that you can throw, you know, an 8-yard screen pass to and he goes 69 or whatever it was. I mean, that's an unbelievable advantage and confidence booster to Spencer Sanders and that offense. And Scott, I thought Spencer told you something great about that second long one that Tylan scored on.
Yeah, he did. The first play of the third quarter, Tylan took a short route, spun, and turned around and went the distance. After Sanders threw the ball, obviously they're trying to get off to this fast start in the second half and trying to play up-tempo a little bit. And so he throws the ball off to his right side, turns to the left, back toward the sidelines to look for the next play call because he's assuming that Tylan's going to be tackled where he was at because the cornerback was right there. And all of a sudden he realizes nobody's looking in his direction. Everybody's still celebrating. So he turns around and realizes what's going on. So pretty incredible moment. The things that Tylan is doing after the catch this year have been beyond, I think, what we saw last year. You know, he said he might be a little bit faster this year. Credit Coach Rob Glass for that. But he's definitely been pretty impressive with what he's done so far. Jacob,
I just want to say this is my first time to see him live and in person, and wow, he's electric. Just the catch he made, it was right there in front of us in the press box. On that ridiculous catch, his speed, like you said, I mean, he's just so fast. And I asked CJ Moore about him after the game, and he just said he's a freak, and like really emphasized the word freak. And I think that's fair. And what he's doing right now is really, really fun to watch.
You know, we got a chance to see, you know, greatness obviously in James Washington for several years, and I thought James had a great ability to take long passes and turn on the jets. His ability to run through long passes was just, I mean, he worked on it, but there was a lot of innate ability plus that skill and hard work that really made that such an amazing weapon for James. We've seen some of that same sort of thing out of Tylan, but to me, his ability to, take things that look very innocuous and not that dangerous and make them into something unbelievable. And, you know, his ability to elude, he down the sideline on that first touchdown he had, wow, he just kept running past guys. And then the play Jacob referenced, the contested catch on the sideline where he basically had to turn into a defender to get the ball away from the defensive back, who was in better position to make the play than he was, and then somehow to stay in bounds. I wrote a little bit about Tylan tonight, and, you know, you think, well, there's got to be a little luck, but he keeps doing these sorts of things, and you're like, well, that's what he does. And so I think, you know, I know people want to compare and, you know, how does he rank and where is he and all this sort of other stuff. Obviously a lot more games before we have to make those determinations, but both of those guys have such a, you know, vast array of skills. But I'm interested now that we've seen, you know, again, a new leaf turned over by Tylan Wallace and some of the stuff he's doing this year. What else has he got up his sleeve? You know, what else has he been working on? We were talking after the game that last year, one of the things that was maybe his biggest downfall was he had some catches that were, he dropped some stuff that it wasn't so much about the catch being tough. It was that he decided he was ready to run before he caught the ball. He hasn't had those situations yet. But, you know, if he can stop doing that and add some other things, this has a chance to be a season with some outrageously big numbers. And, you know, as I was talking to Spencer Sanders, sorry to hog the mic now, I'm talking all about these receivers and going crazy, but I was talking to Spencer Sanders about, you know, they really haven't thrown to their Cowboy backs much, and he kind of looked up towards Tylan and he said, yeah, when defenses start paying attention to him a little bit more, look out. And he's right. I mean, they've got all these other guys at receiver too, and the Cowboy back, you know, it's going to really make things hard on defenses with Tylan Wallace doing everything that he's doing this year.
And we'll take a quick break, but before that, I'll say this. Cowboy fans need to enjoy this guy because he's a third-year junior. NFL scouts are buzzing about this guy, and people that are watching him play that know the NFL game and understand the NFL draft are talking a lot about what this guy's doing on the field. So Cowboy fans better enjoy the remainder of this season because this could be it. You know, you never know with a guy. I mean, James Washington could have gone after his junior year and decided not to. You never know what a guy is processing in his mind when he's trying to make that type of decision. But there is a really good chance that the NFL could be too big of a carrot dangling out there for him to stay around one more year. So. With that, we'll take a quick break and be right back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh and Jenny Carlson. Let's turn our focus to the defense, which, unlike the offense, did get off to a fast start. No turnovers a week ago, and two plays in, they get one this week, and it goes for six with A.J. Green stepping in front of a Cody Orgeron pass and taking it to the house. First pick six for A.J. Green in his career, which is pretty big deal considering that he's been out there for a lot of games, but had some really big interceptions over the course of his career. But his first pick six, so a big deal for him. But the defense overall, I thought it's a no-win situation for him. They can't do anything that's really going to just wow you in a game like this against a lower-level opponent. But I thought that they played pretty well and had some important moments that they'll take from this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Cody Orgeron and the offense around him, you know, that's not Big 12, obviously, but they came out and took care of business. They only allowed 82 yards that first half. And that's impressive alone against any team. It doesn't matter who it is. You allowed 82 yards, and you get that turnover. That's what they really needed was a turnover. They struggled last year with that. They didn't get one last week. They only had one sack last week. They had two this week. And they had two turnovers, too. Philip Redwine Bryant later had one that almost became a pick six. And they start doing these things like this that could build some momentum. As you go into Tulsa, a team that struggled offensively, you got a chance to go and build on that as you get ready for Texas. And this is all about building momentum for this defense right now. And when you look at how they're playing tonight, you've got to feel encouraged, even if it is McNeese State. I know people have kind of criticized Jim Knowles' defense a little bit and stuff, and now I think you can start to see that maybe there's a little bit of momentum going here moving forward. Will it last? Who knows, but it's a good start.
I think, too, it's worth mentioning that, you know, they're still playing tonight without Calvin Bundage, who was absent again with injury, and Israel Antoine, also, we believe, absent with injury.
Personal issue that is not injury or discipline related, according to my sources.
I think that's now twice that I've said that, Scott.
I need to get
that through my head. Okay, sorry.
Two
guys, though, that you figure will be starters eventually, not in the lineup again tonight, and also your first game without Kyle Jr., knowing he's not going to be with you on the defensive line. So, you know, when you think about it, three guys that at one point in the, you know, not so distant past, we were saying, well, that guy's a starter. And now here they are, you know, playing pretty well. Yeah, they weren't playing a great team tonight. We know that. But I think you want to see not a lot of self-inflicted wounds against a lesser opponent. And I didn't really feel like that they really did that. I mean, you didn't necessarily see personal fouls or, you know, just dumb mistakes. And I think that's the type of thing that against a lesser opponent, sometimes mentally you can have those letdowns and then you start to see those penalties. And I thought they played pretty well. I mean, I know second half, a lot of reserves, but they did give up a touchdown pass, but they also had a couple of goal line stands and got a fourth down stop. So, I mean, I think overall the defense did some positive things, remembering that they're going to be tougher opponents. But like Jacob said, I mean, I think you do want to build on things as you go. And this was definitely – it wasn't a step back, and that's good for this defense.
Yeah, it absolutely was. The turnovers, the sacks, seeing those numbers go up. I mean, they had I alluded to this in my pregame blog, the six-shooter, that last week they had combined one they had one sack, no interception, no turnovers. That was a number that they needed to go up, and it did right away. So that's the big deal for this team right now, that defensively that they're making positive steps. They're still not asking the defensive line to do a lot. They're staying kind of vanilla with what they're doing with those guys, and that's important because you got so many new guys out there. You had Samuel Tuihalamaka play in a decent number of snaps, Sione Asi, Amadou Fofana, all these guys that like to test my spelling and memorization abilities, not to mention my pronunciation abilities.
I'm really impressed you can pronounce their names. I'm not there yet.
I can't remember Israel Antoine isn't hurt, and you're back there spouting out those names. That's really good.
I'm not gonna tell you guys how many hours I spend in front of the mirror just going Ogbong Bamiga.
You're like the baseball player who practices swing and the dry swing in front of the mirror, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Speaking of Ogbong Bamiga, that guy is turning into a really good player. I've been really impressed with what he has done. He's got the skills that look like he can be a serious impact player going forward. Then you pair him with Malcolm Rodriguez, who just has such a nose for the ball, so naturally gifted in that way. I mean, listen, Calvin Bundage might have a hard time getting back in the starting lineup with the way that Malcolm Rodriguez is playing in that position right now.
You almost get the sense like maybe they're not in any rush to bring him back. Like, you know what, let's just get him healthy. We've got Malcolm there right now. There's no rush. Let's just make sure that he's completely good to go, and then we'll figure it out. And if he doesn't get good to go, then you've still had Malcolm there for a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they need guys getting healthy at linebacker. Kevin Henry came back this week. That was important. He got to play a lot in the second half. Phillip Redwan Bryant, who we talked about his interception earlier, he was another backup that was getting in on the action. So that was a really big deal. But behind that, they were going to some walk-ons that I was having to check names and numbers.
You didn't have their pronunciations down?
I was not prepared to pronounce their names, no.
You know what, though? I think when you're talking about a defensive line that is maybe being asked to occupy and not disrupt at this point, I think to have linebackers that can be disruptive and have shown the ability, whether you're talking about Rodriguez or Ombog Mbiga, I think that can help take the pressure off that defensive line, you know, give it a little bit of runway to get things figured out. You know, we talked about that early in camp, that the secondary being more advanced could potentially be the thing that, you know, allows that defensive line a little bit more space to, you know, get their bearings. But frankly, those linebackers have been every bit as important, especially when you're talking about being thin there, to have a couple guys that, you know, are really kind of getting up in there and not just occupying, but actually going and finding ball carriers. You know, again, we're acknowledging the whole way that there's going to be tougher tests along the way, but I think that's a pretty significant thing when you're seeing guys that have an inclination and then an ability to go and be disruptive. I think that's pretty important, you know, even when the opponent may not be as good as they're going to get down the line.
Next week is Tulsa, which will be a little bit stiffer test. We'll get into that more in our future podcast later in the week. But let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some walk-ons who did some special things and some true freshmen that we maybe didn't expect to play. Coming right back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We're back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh and Jenny Carlson. As I mentioned, we did see some walk-ons that got heavily involved in some action, had some big plays, or former walk-ons in the case of a guy like Phillip Redwine Bryant, and also some true freshmen that we did not expect maybe to play. At least I didn't really think there were a couple that I didn't think we would see. But Mike Gundy and his coaching staff taking a little bit more liking to the four-game rule in how he can use those guys. Got some guys involved in some action way earlier than what we saw a year ago in the first year of that four-game redshirt rule. So, but let's start. We've talked about Phillip Redwine Bryant, former walk-on linebacker, fifth-year senior, had the big interception, went out of bounds at the one. Somebody asked him, "Did you look up at the video board to see if you were in?" Because he was really close, and he said, "No, I was facing the ground as I went down," and he's like, "I knew I wasn't in. I knew there was no way." But he got it close and then handed off Jacob to someone that you're going to get to tell us a lot more about in Monday's paper.
Yeah, everyone was really thrilled at the game that walk-on Micah Cooper got his first touchdown. He made his debut last week, carried the ball for I think a handful of yards, and didn't get a ton of carries again tonight, but got one where it really mattered. He got the 1 yard touchdown run, and he's a walk-on from Medill, who has really grown in his years since moving from Medill to Medill from California. Literally, figuratively, everything, he's grown. I'm gonna write more about him in Monday's paper, but I will say that, you know, he's gone from Henderson State, to where he had a scholarship, to NEO, to where he got a scholarship but then walked on at OSU after 1 year at NEO. And has been the biggest surprise to everyone. Mike Gundy talked about that last week, how he's been the biggest surprise, and how his dedication in the weight room has really shown through, and learning everything. And I talked with Drew Brown about him tonight, and Drew said that was his highlight of the night. It wasn't one of his touchdown passes. It was watching Micah score a touchdown, getting to hand the ball off to him and letting him do that. He said he's totally earned that moment. And And that was the brightest moment for him tonight. And I think that's really cool that you see a guy rallying around someone like that who's getting a chance.
Yeah, and that's a guy that has become much more valuable than at least early in the season than we expected. He was really, you know, fifth or maybe even sixth on the depth chart when camp began. But Desmond Jackson has not suited up for a game yet, junior college running back. Jameel Jeter got his first action tonight, ended up with 11 carries, the most among running backs in the game tonight. But Cooper took over that number three spot. And, Philip Redwine Bryant talked about, if he wasn't going to get the score, that's the guy he wanted to score that touchdown. So that was it was really cool to see how excited everybody was for a guy that a lot of people on the team say is maybe the hardest worker in that locker room.
Yeah, and, I think it's interesting, too, to think about how far he's come, how fast he's come.
Right.
Because, I think L.D. Brown is a good change of pace when you look at Chuba Hubbard's speed and some of the things that he brings, and L.D. a little bit more of a pounding sort of guy, bigger, broader guy. But, if Cooper can keep progressing, L.D. hasn't exactly wowed anybody yet.
Right.
And I know Chuba's been great, so it kind of clouds our thought on the running backs. But, I think that, next guy up sort of thing, he could be a valuable guy before this is all over. So I think if he continues on the trajectory he's on, I'm not saying he moves into the second spot or becomes a starter, but he's a guy that they could continue to have more and more belief in. So, I think that's a position that they've got a lot of bodies, but, guys sort of stepping up and saying, here I am, force me to go back to the bench. I think that there's one guy that's a for sure in Hubbard, and after that, I think there might be some moving parts down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. L.D. Brown, 4 carries for 10 yards tonight. He had a similar type of outing at Oregon State. He had that one really impressive touchdown run where he just would not go down and kept fighting through up there at Oregon State. But hasn't done anything wild to this point. DeAndre Glass, as I mentioned, some true freshmen that got in. DeAndre Glass was one of them. Looking at the stats here, and they've got AJ Green down for a carry. So I believe that also belongs to DeAndre Glass, who also wears number 4. So that'd be 3 carries for 10 yards, but a fumble for DeAndre Glass. So a rough debut in that respect for him. He did not come back in the game after that late fumble. Jameel Jeter made a return at that point.
I don't want to hijack the conversation about true freshmen, but, guys that got in against an FCS opponent and, got some snaps and that sort of thing, and there were some guys we weren't expecting, but it's sort of all that makes me think about a guy like Trace Ford, who Jim
right.
Knowles talked about post-game again tonight, that, he thinks he, in that role that Jordan Brailford played last year, that Trace is faster. He's quicker than what Brailford was. And so, to have a guy that is a true freshman like the rest of those guys, and yet he's not only seeing playing time, but affecting some things at a position that you don't see a lot of true freshmen get on the field at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks pretty highly to where Trace Ford is and the impact he could have on this defense, not only this year, but for a long time to come, because that guy's going to get better and better as time goes on. So while I'm thinking about, there were some guys out there that, might see a game or two more before the redshirt kicks in, if I like Trace Ford, I'm not redshirting Trace Ford. He's playing this year.
Yeah, and Jaden Jernigan, another one who, had a big play early on at the defensive tackle position. That guy is going to be an impact player all the way down the stretch, because they're going to need so many guys on that defensive line. Langston Anderson was a guy that I didn't know what his status would be, but he didn't travel last week, but he got in late, caught a pass from Sean Taylor. But some other guys, Cody Walterscheid got in and tipped a pass at the line of scrimmage in a late game situation in one of the goal line stands that was a big deal. So clearly Gundy and co are a little more comfortable with the redshirt rule and the 4-game rule and taking advantage of that. Let's wrap it up here though with a guy that we expected to play tonight, not in a starting role obviously, but Drew Brown gets in the game and really I was impressed with a couple of the throws he made, and the guys that he threw them to made some big plays after they caught them, but the pass to Braden Johnson was really impressive. Just his overall management of the offense, I thought, was solid at a time when Oklahoma State had really sort of put the game away. But good to see Drew Brown get out there and make an impact.
Yeah, that throw to Braden Johnson is what really does stand out to me. It was over the top. It was really good. It's what you wanted to see. And I said this earlier, but I think he does. I could see why the battle took so long. He has a lot of the same characteristics as Spencer. I don't know that he's as fast. He ran the ball a little bit, but he looked like he wasn't slow by any means, I thought. And, you know, he threw the ball really well and seemed to make good decisions. And I asked him after the game, point blank, I said, you know, what was your reaction last week, you know, when you found out the news? And he said he was disappointed, but he's going to accept his role and he's going to be ready when he's called on, and because he knows he's going to get his chances and he's happy where he is. And seems like he's going to, you know, if he plays like that, he's going to make the most of his chances.
Yeah, absolutely. He, you know, when Spencer Sanders runs the way that he does and does all the things that he does, there are going to be moments, whether it's just a minor injury or a helmet popping off or whatever it might be, that Brown is going to have to come into the game and it's going to be in a crucial situation. It's not going to be in the second quarter of a otherwise meaningless bowl game like he did last year when Taylor Cornelius lost his helmet. It could happen at Texas in a couple of weeks or something like that. So Brown is going to be, I think, called upon at some point this season.
I think that's right. And, you know, you bring up the running, which we talked about earlier, Spencer Sanders. And by all accounts, both from him and from Sean Gleason, there's not a air of concern about the amount of running or the style of running.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think that, you know, at some point in time in the future, you're all of a sudden going to see Spencer Sanders either sliding or running out of bounds or not running at all. Or, you know, I think this is what Spencer Sanders is going to do in the run game. Makes me a little uncomfortable. You know, if a guy's not kind of big and broad and stout at quarterback running, it just sort of makes you worry a little bit, but he's comfortable with it. He prefers it. Gleason seems okay with it at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Scotty. I think there is going to come a point when, you know, a helmet pops off or something happens. And, you know, Drew Brown seems like a guy that at least mentally is, you know, in a good spot, and ability-wise has done this before as a starter at Hawaii. So I think that, you know, getting him in situations like tonight, though, are important to, you know, keep him at least in the flow of things a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see next week as they head to Tulsa, you know, how do they manage that? Because, you know, the chance to have a decent lead at some point in that game will exist. And do you try to maybe bring in a Drew Brown for a series before that, or do you wait until it's in hand and then turn it over to him? That seems to be the way they're headed, but I think that's an interesting thought as, you know, Texas looms not too far in the distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Spencer Sanders, Jenny, is as we learned, not a slider.
No.
He is he's not the sliding type.
He told me he is. I said, are you much of a slider? And he said, I've slid once in my career, and he told me all about it. He said he had a bum shoulder at one point in high school, and whoever they were playing had a good linebacker, and he broke off a nice run, 30, 40 yards, and thought, I got to get through this. I can't get hit, and he slid, and that was it. So if he can remember it one time you slid, you know, sometimes guys aren't very good at sliding, and you can almost worry more about the slide But I think he could probably be a decent slider. It's just not his deal.
Yeah, not natural for him. And I don't mean that he can't do it. It's not his. He's not wired that way. All right, well, we'll shut it down right there for the post-game podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to the Cowboy Chronicles podcast on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate that. Rate us, review us, all of those good things over there. Remember, we will have our Friday mailbag coming up before the Tulsa game, so feel free to jump in there anytime. Jump on Twitter, send me your questions at ScottWrightOK. Email to swright@oklahoman.com. So that'll wrap it up for this one. For Jenny Carlson, Jacob Unruh, I am Scott Wright. Thank you for joining us on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving, stop in today, or visit Zaxby's.com.